Good evening and welcome. It's KBC Arts. I'm David Fleming. You catch a man down river. I could have run that way forever. I have worn a path through the great green world, overflowing every bending bank. Just leave me head down river. The sole focus of tonight's KBC Arts is music from and conversation with Redlands musician Michael Tammany. We'll hear about his background in and out of music, a quite diverse background, and we'll also hear about his most recent band, The Legion of Decency. They'll be at Back to the Grind in Riverside soon. Michael's music credits have landed on both sides of the mic for quite some time, recording with the likes of Beck and Ice-T. There was even that time with Jack Black. More on that later. His band these days is the Legion of Decency, and they have an upcoming live date at Back to the Grind in Riverside soon. Add to that, they're just about to release a new album called Deep Lines Among the Shallows. It's this close to completion.
It's essentially done. I came up with the title, mm-hmm. and then after I came up with the title, I wrote the song. And so I have to still track the vocals for that song, and then the record's done, and I'm going to press vinyl and release it digitally. So I've been releasing singles digitally because that's a significantly easier process than pressing vinyl and less costly. But I have to make a record. I grew up on records, and it's never going to recoup, but, you know, it's that's what I got to do.
People are into it right now, and that's phenomenal. And does this shape your writing in the sense that folks that I'm talking to these days that are putting out albums, they will write a side one and side two feel? And this applies even to the CDs, that you'll notice that somewhere in the middle it sort of wraps up that linear flow and then kicks off again, and that would be the side two moment. So with the vinyl, did you keep that in mind as you were arranging the songs on the album?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I arranged the whole thing with vinyl in mind because while streaming is what everybody's doing, I grew up on 12-inch records, and 12-inch records had this, like, I posted this on a social media thing. So the Western Stars, that new Bruce Springsteen record came out. And that to me, like, not that specific record, but just records in general, when I was younger, they were this entire process or this entire experience, right? You would open it up and you'd put it on and you'd read all the liner notes. This is what I would do.
Yep.
Read all the liner notes, read every single lyric, who was doing everything, and just buried myself in the entire experience. And so that's what I wanted to do with this, and laying out the record in a way where it was more of, you know, an entire experience from beginning to end. The title, Deep Lines Among the Shallows, it's become bigger than just the name of the record to me, because the song came from the title, and it sort of is based in what's happening in our society and all the division and all of that. Now what's happening is on the 30th, I'm going up to Lake Gregory to shoot the photos for the album cover with this woman named Jen Rosenstein, who shoots photos for a bunch of huge rock stars and stuff, and I reached out to her and she was into doing the photo shoot. And what it's going to be is it's going to be my son and this little African-American kid who's the son of the gospel singer on a few of the tracks. If you listen through, you'll hear her son Blaze, and they're going to be standing like ankle deep in Lake Gregory. I wanted it to be a river. They're going to stand ankle deep in Lake Gregory, and we're going to shoot them from behind holding hands, looking at the darkness of the water. The idea is that these two differing children are going to be the future of how we're going to get out of all of this. And they're going to dive into this water. They're afraid, but together, collectively, they're going to dive into this water and kind of conquer that fear. So that's kind of how the whole idea and the title of the record and all of it has sort of manifested itself.
Does that then lend itself to We Are Giant? Is this, or maybe I'm conflating things here, because you were speaking of the gospel singer, and I know that she's at least featured on We Are Giant. So is that the Together We Are Giant? Is that what we're discussing?
No, but that's a great observation. It's not, but it could be, right? So music is always interpreted by listeners in whatever way. That's a great observation. I never had thought of that. And We Are Giants was actually... It's a silly story, but the San Francisco Giants had a marketing campaign, and it was We Are Giants. And I wrote that entire song based on that We Are Giants line, but then it transformed into, like, collectively as Together We Are Giants. I like your idea even better. I mean, I've been around music for a long, long time, playing songs and writing songs, and everybody will come to you and say, hey, is this about this? Or, hey, this is about this, or whatever. And so the beauty of music is that you can write a lyric and people will interpret it, you know, whatever way feels right to them. And then that creates some sort of internal process for them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I've done it, right? I mean, you're a music aficionado, right? It's like I can listen to tracks off of Joshua Tree, U2, and it means something incredibly deep and personal to me, but it has nothing to do with that. It's about something entirely different. So that's the beauty of all of this, I think.
The interview that I was mentioning earlier with Jesse Young, so many of these songs that are on his new album, they are about specific things, as in, there's one called Texas Drowning, when there were all the floods going on. There's one called Orlando, that was written after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. And several songs on this album that have been written specifically for something, but he made sure to leave them open enough that they can have, as he put it, this other, deeper, more cosmic interpretation than just his own experience. So when you're writing about someone or something, do you try to keep it open enough that, hey, maybe I'm singing about Tom Sawyer, but other people can just appreciate it as literature?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's as conscious of a decision-making process for me. It's more of the best songs that I've written. I feel like they're connected to something outside of myself. Like, a line will come, and then a whole bunch of stuff will flow from that line, and then the melody, and then the chords, and all that kind of thing. So there's a song that's called Shine a Light that's on the record. And Shine a Light has the gospel singer and Rami Jaffe from the Foo Fighters and the Wallflowers on it. That song is about, again, our political world, because that's consuming a lot of the creative energy.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
If you listen to it, like my brother listened to it, and he said, yeah, it reminds me of a song about like living in the South or something. So It's not that I consciously try to avoid that. It's more at the end of it, of the writing process. What was I trying to say? And then what does it sound like? Or what did lyrically come out of that thought process, I think, is more of how it works for me. It's weathered and the days. The hardwood is cracked and old. It makes a cacophonous rage. Do we pay no attention?
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Michael Tammany of the Legion of Decency. For folks listening here on KVC Arts, Michael's created a special preview EP of their new album set to be released soon. It's free with originally 250 downloads available. Just go to thelegionofdecency.com/KVCArts and enter the access code, all in uppercase, KVCArts2019H. Again, that's KVCArts2019H, all in uppercase. I'll be giving that information out again later in the program. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 FM and streaming live at kvcrnews.org. Come on down to the State House, darling. We're gonna have a march. Lace up your shoes. We're making fake news, and this is how it starts.
There's another one called Ain't Got No Room for Kings and Thrones.
Yes.
And that's a very specific song, which was consciously written to address what's happening politically. It references like fake news and all of that kind of stuff. So that one was specifically written with that, trying to convey that. But other ones just sort of flow out of whatever songwriting flows out of. Sounds kind of silly, but it's like songwriting sometimes feels like it's a connection to something outside of your own self. I think.
Nice. Well, that paints a really nice picture for that sitting on a cliff or under a tree or whatever and just observing and letting some of that stream of consciousness words come out. It works nicely for that. The one you just mentioned, Ain't Got No Room for Kings and Thrones. From the get-go, you talk about we're going to have a march, and then you mention fake news, and so it's so much a topical kind of thing. I suppose someday people could go, fake news, okay, that means one thing or another to me, but today we hear fake news, and that's just simply Trump denying reporters any sort of credence or credibility. There's a certain cleverness to the songs that are listed at thelegionofdecency.com for example, We Are Giant. There's a picture of Andre the Giant there holding a little kid. Ain't Got No Room for Kings and Thrones. We've got Johnny Cash with that iconic flipping the bird to the camera. And this one took a little bit of searching because I knew it, but I didn't know why. The song I Do, we've got a picture of Fatty Arbuckle from the movie Wedding Night.
Dave, that's so awesome that you research those to that depth, man. That's so cool. Yeah.
Well,
fantastic.
You know,
I mean, really, I was trying to find pictures that sort of, and gosh, the copyright police will probably like be knocking on my door. But
oops.
I was trying to find pictures that fit with what was happening lyrically. I don't know where your question was going, but anyway, I appreciate you researching all of that so in depth.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, you know, in all honesty, I'm not sure where my question was going either, other than, hey, it's cool that you even thought to do this Wedding Night to go with I Do, or the rabbit hole led to you. We've got a picture of Alice falling down the rabbit hole. I really appreciate that, and I think some of those would be like the Easter eggs that lead a person over to listen to more, or to read more, or to find out more about it. They could just, Alice in Wonderland, I'm going to listen to that song. Hopefully that'll happen.
That's interesting, man. That's a great... In creating these, art to me, the musical, like I said, relating to that Bruce Springsteen record, or vinyl in general, right?
Yeah.
It was an entire experience to me. It was like... The photos were super cool, the lyrics, the words, even the fonts they chose, and like all that stuff to me was just like my life when I was growing up. I would just be buried in records with all of these amazing images and concert footage and just all of this stuff, and it just felt like it was just nirvana or something to me. I don't know. I mean, that was my experience with music growing up. It was all one thing. And so when I'm putting up a song, I just don't want it to be like a MP3 link that somebody clicks on. I want to have something that's unique to that song. That's part of the fun of presenting it to an audience, I think.
That's right. Yeah, I, of course, grew up on albums as well and agree wholeheartedly about, well, one, the digital downloads. People have not been going for a linear timeline for quite some time. It's more of a collection of tracks that fill 79 minutes. And then when it's all said and done, a lot of the listeners are only going to download tracks 3, 6, and 9. So I really appreciate it more when folks are putting the effort into making that complete experience, not just the linear flow of the album, the start to finish, but then also the pictures and the album cover, because yes, it was one of the beauties of these large albums were the large pictures. I wouldn't know who Bernie Taupin was if I didn't look inside the liner notes or at those pictures of he and Elton John standing next to each other, or Dean Kilpatrick from Skynyrd's First and Last. We wouldn't know these people. So I just said Elton John and Skynyrd in the same breath. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, man, you're speaking my language, man. That stuff is... I mean, there's some cool new artists that are doing some interesting things, but a lot of that stuff is where it all comes from for me. And you're right, like... So I reached out to Bruce Springsteen's sister, Pam, to take the photos for the record. It has to be that experience to me. It has to be like, who took the photos? Oh, look at this, and what's this and that, and it has to be that. Otherwise, there's no real point in doing any of this. I mean, you can write songs and sing them in your room and go play little cafes and open mics and stuff, and that's super cool and fun, and I love doing all that. But if I'm going to make a record and really put the energy and the finances into it, then I have to do it in a way that emulates those things that were such a significant experience to me growing up.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you're not feeling it, then the audience probably will not either. And that's with everything, whether you're on stage or deciding if it should be a colon or a semicolon or anything like that.
Right.
What do we turn up to 11?
Successful.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Michael Tammany of the Legion of Decency. The Legion of Decency has a new album out quite soon called Deep Lines Among the Shallows. They also have an upcoming performance at Back to the Grind in Riverside July 6th. Michael's created a preview EP of the new album. Go to thelegionofdecency.com/KVCArts and enter the access code KVCArts2019H. That's all in uppercase. Again, KVCArts2019H. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. Let's combine your bio with one of the songs. You stated that your first concert was Journey at the Cow Palace in San Francisco with your mom. That would have led me to think that you were from California, but listening to your record, I want to say that you're from the South, or specifically one of the Carolinas.
No, I was born and raised in San Francisco, and I moved to Southern California. I actually worked for Tower Records, and I worked for a music distributor, and they hired me to live in Southern California to distribute records for Concord Jazz.
Oh!
A whole nother life. I mean, David, we could talk for 10 years, but no, I grew up in the Bay Area, but the song that talks about the Carolinas and...
Yeah, no one does.
Yes, it was more of like that song, that kind of kicked off this whole writing process, because I took a break after an experience with one of the Dust Brothers in L.A. and getting signed to him, doing all this stuff. And so that song was more of like a written outside of my body kind of experience of like someone coming to L.A. and trying to make it in Hollywood. It came in from Carolina. There's a nice little ring to it.
Yeah. This may be a John Prine thing, but I think his dad may have smoked Salem's, but he put Marlboro because of the meter of the song. He needed three syllables. Something like that. I probably just bastardized that, but I'm sure that's what it was. But.
Hey, man, and if John Prine can do it, I can do it.
That's right.
Anybody
that's right.
can do it.
Big old goofy world. At some point, this is going back in history, but you became a recording engineer in Sacramento at a place called Enharmonic. While you were becoming a recording engineer, you did everything from country records to gangsta rap. And so you've got, in this time, Brother Lynch Hung and Ice-T and E-40. So tell me about this. What was this experience, please?
It's so hard to even really put into words. I went to recording school at Sacramento City College, and I got an internship at this place called Enharmonic, which was like one of the bigger recording studios in Sacramento. All indie, cool stuff, and it was a great, great, amazing experience. The only great, amazing experience downside would be you recorded anybody who had money. So you could be the worst musician on the planet, but I was going to make a record with you because you could pay the hourly rate. But then there were things that I did outside of that where I would record just these incredible musicians. This guy, Rusty, who was in a band called Jackpot back in the day, and they were just incredible, like, country, funk stuff. I recorded a song called Jesus Is My Dishwasher with Jason Lytle. I recorded with guys from Cake and Deftones and all kinds of bands, and then Brother Lynch Hung is a famous Sacramento rapper, and so I got the opportunity, which, you know, I don't know if I saw it as an opportunity at the time, but I recorded a record with him that was probably one of his biggest records, at least back then, and it had E-40 on it and Ice-T on it and a whole bunch of amazing guest appearances. He started his own label, and I ended up recording all the people on that label, so it was... It was a pretty cool experience. I mean, I still stay in touch with those guys, and they're making music still, man. They're grinding it out. Feels like a lifetime ago doing all that. But really, that's how I cut my teeth with all this stuff and learned how to record. And so I recorded this whole record that I'm putting out on my own, basically. And it helped me to then transition to working with John King from the Dust Brothers and working on records for, like, Tenacious D and... Dusty Martin and Wood and Beck and all kinds of crazy rock stars.
That is really cool there, just in the one sentence. I said Elton John and Lynyrd Skynyrd in one thing, but then you, in your bio, you've got in one breath Tenacious D, Beck, and Dusty Martin and Wood.
Dusty Martin and Wood, those guys, we were recording their record. So John King is the Dust Brother I was working with. So it was in his living room. But John Dusty would play a Mellotron. And a Mellotron has tape, right, that plays the sample. He would open up the top of the Mellotron and, like, play this note. And like crazy jazz, right? And then he'd play this line and this note, and then he'd hit the wheel that the tape was spinning on and slow it down. So it'd be like this. And it was incredible. Those guys are just insanely talented and good. I mean, anybody who knows who they are knows that. But that was one cool experience.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And then hanging out with, like, Jack Black and Kyle Gass and that band that they have for Tenacious D is just stunningly good. They're all super talented folks. But it was just as you would imagine, like, hanging out in a recording studio with Jack Black. He's, like, bouncing off the walls and everything's a great idea and it's all craziness and zany and super fun.
So when we see Jack Black doing pretty much, well, let's say anything, there's the eyebrows and the crazy eyes, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. Is he actually like that in person? You know, what we see on any kind of a clip?
Yep.
He's always on.
My experience with him was, but I mean, you know, he obviously chills out, but he's always going funny, super cool, and a really, really nice guy.
And absurdly talented.
Kyle Gass, too, has a band called Trainwreck. I don't know if Trainwreck is still going, but Kyle, I recorded Trainwreck's first record with John, like a live record, and that was a pretty cool experience. And so what ended up happening, though, is like the whole LA thing, just like John would set up stuff or I would set up people. He was trying to get me signed to a record label, and so I go meet with people, and you know, I'd go meet some lawyer who, you know, was like, yeah, your stuff's kind of like John Mayer, blah blah blah. That's not the music that you heard, it's some older stuff. So I have a whole bunch of other stuff, but it was always just such a weird experience, and just it just was so discouraging and so not about music or art or creativity at some point, and it was just, I couldn't do it anymore. I met my wife, and I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. This is not working. Because I started creating songs that were about, like, I hate lawyers, stuff like that. It was like, it was just infesting everything, and I took probably like a 5-year break from music, and then came back to it with that No One Does song. Kind of speaks to that whole thing.
It totally does. This song is about coming to Hollywood to make it, and quite frankly, no one does. No one makes it. So that's, wow. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Michael Tammany of the Legion of Decency. Now, for folks listening here on KBC Arts, Michael's created a special preview EP of their new album set to be released soon. It's free with originally 250 downloads available. Just go to the legionofdecency.com/KVCArts and enter the access code, all in uppercase, KVCArts2019. H. Again, that's KVC Arts 2019 H, all in uppercase. I'll be giving that information out again later in the program. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. Also streaming live at kvcrnews.org.
Down in Laurel Canyon where the echo's good, they pretend they are kings of Hollywood. Haystack and the needle, no one could find any humble in words so good.
You mentioned that when you wrote No One Does, to quote you, it opened some kind of a floodgate, and you wrote a whole new batch of songs, and you're still writing constantly. These other songs that were written, are these the songs that are coming up for the album, or do you have some of the old songs coming in here as well?
They're all new ones that are going to be on Deep Lines Among the Shallows. It's all new stuff that came after No One Does. I wrote No One Does, and then all of a sudden, I was writing again. I literally hadn't written a song for at least 5, 6, 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, having a kid and being a husband and, you know, there were just a lot of experiences that happened along the way. My wife got breast cancer while she was pregnant.
Oh, gosh.
It was insane. I mean, you can imagine just that thought.
Yes.
But the whole experience was completely insane. So there was no capacity to write songs, and then I started, and all of a sudden things started to happen lyrically, getting connected or reconnected to whatever it is that songs, or wherever it is that songs come from. That kind of happened again, I think, for me. And so I was able to write all that stuff that's on the website that I sent you, and then that's going to end up on the record. It's been nice, man. It's been a reconnection to something I, you know, have loved and been connected to for most of my life, and so be reconnected with it is really pretty wonderful. And you know, I would write these songs in my room, right, and track them to a click track. My friend Dusty Watson, who's a drummer that I've known for years, played with Dick Dale and plays with the Sonics and a bunch of people. So I brought it over to his living room, and we recorded his drums in the living room to the click track of me. And then, well, first actually Doug Pettibone, who plays with Lucinda Williams and John Mayer, and he's a phenomenal musician, but he added his stuff to it, right? So these songs that just started as like written in a bedroom all of a sudden started to take this life on that felt incredible, and they just started to become more and more and more, and I think that started to create more songs, and the process just kind of started to flow. And then people like Rami adding what he did on it, and there's guys from Drive-By Truckers.
Oh, wow.
On a couple of the, this Jake Gonzalez from Drive-By Truckers added like a honky-tonk piano on two tracks.
Okay.
The one that is Under Budget Backyard Wedding.
Yes.
That has Jay on it. And then Tay from Dawes added piano on stuff. And so I just started reaching out to these people and saying, hey, man, would you be into doing this? And they did. They were into it. They liked the songs. They were like, yeah, man, I'll add some stuff. And so they add stuff. And it just became such a cool experience and such a interesting process, right? So digital has ruined music in a lot of ways. But one way that it is not is accessibility and the ability to have people track stuff onto records, right? It's completely opened that up. And one of the things that I've noticed, right, because the music industry has become so hard to make money in,
yeah,
so difficult to do anything in, the accessibility to artists is much greater than it used to be, right? You'd have to go through like 20 handlers to find someone, but you can just email them now. I mean, a guy like Rami, he doesn't need the money, but, you know, I paid him a little bit to play on the record, and he added, I think he's on like 6 or 7 songs, and accessibility to people like that, first of all, they have to be the kind of people who want to be accessible, and then secondly, you know, you have to be able to access them. So I think that that's one positive to how the music industry has changed. I'm not sure it's a nice trade-off if you're a musician, but it's an interesting dynamic that wasn't around back in the day, I don't think.
Otherwise, how could you get, one of my questions, rather than a question, it just simply says, the guy from Lucinda Williams, the guy from Cake.
Yeah.
It would be difficult to get some of these folks if it weren't for the world of digital. So that's pretty interesting there.
It's absolutely, it would have been impossible. It would have been impossible, David, because I would have had to book a studio, go in, pop up a 2-inch 24-track tape, and blah, 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 blah. You know, it just, it would have been incredibly difficult to do, and you can't. It's definitely has changed. And Gabe Nelson from Cake is an old roommate of mine. And so he was totally down and willing and incredibly talented guy. My gosh.
Nice.
So talented. These people are just, like, so talented.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. Streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. This edition of KVC Arts is in conversation with Michael Tammany of the Legion of Decency. You can see the Legion of Decency in Riverside soon, and they have a new album out soon called Deep Lines Among the Shallows. There's a free preview EP of the album set up for folks listening here on KVC Arts. More on that in just a bit.
The band, too, that we're playing with, we played The Mint on June 5th, and then we're playing that Back to the Grind on July 6th. Those guys, so they're all local Inland Empire guys.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Freaking phenomenal too, man. I mean, I'm so grateful and fortunate that I got this guy, Jadiel Casillas. He plays keys, and he's from Puerto Rico. He's basically had abandoned the island after Hurricane Maria because his entire business of teaching music was wiped out by the hurricane. So he's, you know, floating around the Inland Empire, and somehow I get connected with him, and he's just so valuable. And then the other players I have as well.
You've got Caleb Roseberry. Speaking of Inland Empire, phenomenal guys. Yeah,
he's so good.
Yeah, he is. What's your connection with Caleb? He's one of the featured guitarists, if not the lead guitarist.
Yeah, he played almost all the solos. So the connection with Caleb is pretty funny. So I'm working with some guy. I'm trying to put this record together, right? And I'm working with this guy, and he's not quite cutting in, and he's just can't play. Sweet, nice guy, but he can't play the parts. And he's like, wow, man, I wish I could play like Caleb Roseberry. That guy is just incredible, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, mental note, find Caleb Roseberry. And so I tracked him down through, what is that band?
Well, he's currently playing with the Storybook Villains with Chris Thayer.
And there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. That's how I tracked him down.
Nice.
And I sent him a message, and I said, hey, Caleb, would you be down? And he said, yeah. And he came to my house, and we tracked all his guitar parts. And it was just like, he would say, what do you want here? And I'm like, I don't know, just do whatever you feel. And he would play this stuff, and I was like, dude, you are so... I mean, I've been around a lot of guitar players, and there are some that are just connected to it, right? And he is totally connected to it. He plays lines that are just beautiful lines, and he's incredibly talented. And that really is the secret to anything that I do, is that, you know, I can write a song and I can kind of sing, but if you surround yourself with people who are way more talented than you, it sounds considerably better. Considerably better.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. That is a fact. I would get Caleb in a heartbeat. He can play the clean, crisp notes as well as the grease. He can do either. Yeah. He can go either way there.
Sweet guy, man. So nice.
Oh, yeah, totally. Very, very nice guy. I really enjoy him. And actually, some of his leads on the Storybook Villains are a couple of my favorite tunes or parts of tunes. And Chris Thayer, I appreciate your parts as well.
Welcome to an on-the-budget backyard.
You referenced a song a little bit ago, Under Budget Backyard Wedding. That's an attention getter, just the title of it. Now, people have to listen to it to hear Under Budget Backyard Wedding with a Barely Sober Bride. That's the following parenthetical line, if you will. That and maybe Ain't Got No Room for Kings and Thrones, these may be my favorites from some of the new batch, but Under Budget Backyard Wedding could be easily taken, I suppose, as a novelty song. Hey, there's the hippie uncle from, I think we got Carolina again, I'm not sure, but what it comes down to, though, is the repeated lines, these are my folks, these are my folks. You're talking about all these real down-to-earth people. Your brother might make it to the wedding, but his car just might not start, something like that.
Yeah.
What you're talking about, you're not glorifying anybody or anything. You're talking about everybody you know are real people.
Yes, and that was pulled directly from my life. I got married in my backyard.
Was she barely sober?
Well, we've both been sober for a very long time, but she'd been sober for a while. But anyway, that just crept in there because it kind of sounded fun.
It's funny.
And then my uncle, he wasn't at the wedding or anything, but my uncle was like this when I was growing up. He's still like some hippie stoner in San Francisco who like introduced me to weed and like rock posters and vinyl, and he was the dude, you know. It was like,
nice.
Uncle John, so cool. He'd come down and he'd like sneak you a joint or something, and so Uncle John had to make it into a song somehow. So yeah, that song. And my wife actually found her wedding dress. She's a flight attendant. She found her wedding dress in Alaska at a thrift store because we were dead broke. And so we pulled it off, man. She looked amazing. She looked like June Carter Cash. I didn't look like Johnny, like I say in the song, but she looked like June Carter Cash.
That's enough right there. That's enough. If she looked like June Carter Cash, You didn't need to worry about anything else. You already had it all right there. So.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Folks.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Michael Tammany of the Legion of Decency. For folks listening here on KVC Arts, Michael's created a special preview EP of their new album set to be released soon. It's free and originally $250 available. Just go to thelegionofdecency.com/KVCArts and enter the access code, all in uppercase, KVCArts2019H. Again, KVCArts2019H. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 FM, also streaming live at kvcrnews.org.
Julieta, Julieta, till the sunset has a name, and they made you into punk rock dreams, then left you all the same.
We haven't spoken about her, but is she Julieta by chance?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
Like, that one's sort of made up, but yeah. If there's a reference to any female in the song of mine, I'm probably drawn from my wife in some way or another.
Gotcha.
That one, Julieta, was like... I feel like I've lived like 3,000 lives, David, but I worked with this photographer, Edward Culver, who has shot like the cover of Black Flag Damaged. And if you ever look him up, Edward Culver, punk rock photography, he's shot Ian. And I mean, just early Minor Threat. He shot all the early, very early Chili Peppers stuff. But we were making T-shirts and Greg Ginn wouldn't let us make a Black Flag. He wouldn't even let us put Henry Rollins on a T-shirt because Henry Rollins has a Black Flag tattoo on his arm. And so he was going to sue us.
Oh. Too.
So that's where that Julieta, Greg Ginn. I mean, there's a lot of references to my history in punk rock music. So.
I was actually very curious about Julieta because my note is actually... Is this the story of someone who once was? Because there are things like a lot of past tense references. First of all, it's interesting to have a gentle acoustic number mentioning Black Flag and whatnot. But the quote that I chose to write down, they made you into punk rock dreams, then left you all the same. And so this really feels like someone who's, I don't know, you're looking back and earlier, I hate to say, more exciting part of a person's life and then reflecting on what is now. Is this Julieta? Is this what this is?
I think it's about, and once again, it's probably a connection to something, but I think it's about having grown up in kind of like indie punk music scenes and... Yeah. Girlfriends and playing with local bands and, you know, just sort of like that entire experience. It was built off of the name Julieta. I knew someone with that name, and that name to me just felt very lyrical. I mean, there's not a lot of Julietas that I know of. You know, there's Julies and Juliet and all kinds of... So it kind of built off of that, and the Julieta that I knew was kind of a punk rock scene person and creative and artsy and, you know, and I think that it all just kind of blends together in a big soup of lyrics that hopefully capture the idea and then are also sort of interesting lyrically. It's blending my experiences in the punk rock scene. I played with Kevin Seconds from 7 Seconds. I played in a band called Go National. When I was doing the Enharmonic recording stuff, we had a band called Go National, and we toured around and played like the Troubadour. And so that experience kind of blended with the experiences with Greg Ginn. And when I was a record label rep, I actually hung out with him because we were repping one of his labels. And he just liked to sue everybody under the sun because he's very protective of his brand. And, you know, it's kind of understandable, but at some point it becomes sort of litigiously ridiculous. Dude, we're just putting Henry Rollins on a shirt. So he's got a Black Flag tattoo, which doesn't say Black Flag on the shirt, you know. So anyway, blending all those experiences together and just sort of talking about a scene, I guess, you know. I dig that song. I like how it turned out. I sometimes, at the end, on the outro, where we're saying the S-word bands, you know.
Right.
It's hard to do live sometimes, because if you don't nail the whole song, you don't want to say, like, like you're talking crap on local bands.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've been aware of that a couple of times.
Again, you're going to be at Back to the Grind on July 6th. Yeah. This is going to be with the band that's recorded predominantly with you on this album coming up?
No, it's not. It's going to be the live band. So it's Jody L and a drummer named Lucas Sutter. We have a bass player, a local, Susanna Quinteros. She's an amazing bass player. She plays with like the Redlands Orchestra. She plays stand-up bass, and she's incredibly cool. And then Caleb from the record, he's going to be there. But the live band, I'll be honest, the live band is almost better than the recorded band.
Sweet.
They're phenomenally good, and the advantage that they have is that we're sitting in rooms rehearsing and coming up with parts and doing all of that, as opposed to the recording band, which was just sort of like, here's the song, record your stuff on this song kind of thing. It's a cool live band.
For the entirety of tonight's KBC Arts, it's been music and conversation with Michael Tammany of the Legion of Decency. Their new disc will be out quite soon, called Deep Lines Among the Shallows. And once again, Michael set up a special free preview EP of the album. It was set up for folks listening here on KBC Arts. Go to thelegionofdecency.com/KVCArts and enter the access code KVCArts2019. H. That's all in uppercase, and again, that's KVC Arts 2019 H. And again, much more on the Legion of Decency at thelegionofdecency.com. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Michael Tammany, and here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Taylor Milliner, Shireen Awad, Andrew Caravella, and KVCR Director of Operations Tony Papa. Music beds and themes heard on KVCR, it's composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVCR programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming, thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.